Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance and the same five guys who always call. Oh, yay.
All right. 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and 92. That's right. My people did. They did write that. That's Amore.
What a great Italian composers can you think of?
Oh, are you kidding me? The greatest composers in the world are Italian. Ooh. Okay. The three tenors? Okay.
They're not composers.
They composed great songs that they put together for you.
No, it's German. We run the ship. We run everything, basically.
Okay. You know, I don't want to even talk about what you guys ran. Okay, so let's move
on.
We
had a cold streak in the 30s and 40s.
You were cold.
Well, we had a guy.
Yeah,
a guy who stepped out a little bit.
A little bit? No, yeah.
You're a little out of line. We're a little out of line. But we've got a lot of, yeah. So I was letting John hear a German drinking song by Haydn called Leba Liba Trinka Lerma. It's actually called Alles Hat Seine Zeit. So if you'd like to know more about that, I could get into it. But the Astros won. The NBA draft is tonight. So I think we have other pressing needs.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Denton Ramsey wrote a little piece for Fan Nation inside the Astros. Here's the headline. Injured Astros ace should be respected, not chastised.
This is McCullers?
But search his name on any social media site, and you'll get mostly negative comments on McCullers, with many fans calling for an end to his tenure with Houston or referring to him as worthless or weak or in some form or fashion. These words and criticism are not even remotely true when it comes to McCullers. McCullers is a pillar of love and passion in Houston, and his perseverance is remarkable. I don't know. Listen, the dude is injured. It's not our money. It's $85 million.
You don't think what he wrote is true? That he is... I think what he wrote is not inaccurate. I think his perseverance is... I mean, Lance has been through a lot, has persevered, come back, tried to do what he could to come back. He's not sitting out games because he just doesn't want to. I mean, he's hurt.
Yeah.
He's made some really good comebacks. People are frustrated. I think also one of the problems we're having is we saw this with... Who was it, the lady who... Jack Jones's lawyer, where she's letting social media says. Look, it happens to all of us. It's kind of a bubble.
Well, this media has also said it too, though, because of how injury prone he is. And it's not. Listen, that's the facts.
What did they say, that he's injury prone? Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah.
What did they say, that he's worthless and needs to go? His time's up. No, I don't. I didn't see the media.
No,
say
but
that.
We have criticized the contract. We've criticized, and.
All fair, though, right?
It's all fair.
He had injury history headed into it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that.
But this guy's talking about search any social media or fan page, and he's a weasel. He needs to go. He's whatever.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but that's. I don't. But now we're reporting on what. And then we've kind of gone to this point now where we report on what social media says.
He was a pivotal part in bringing both World Series titles to Houston, and he's been a remarkable pitcher for the Astros almost every time he takes the hill. I don't know if I would agree with that. I don't think he played a pivotal role last year. Certainly in 2017, he played a pivotal role, especially in that Yankees game. But I don't know that you couldn't have done it without Lance McCullers last year, and especially his start in the World Series was one of the worst starts. It was the worst start of the postseason. It was awful.
Yeah. Lance only had 8 starts in the regular season. He was 4-2 with a 2.27. I mean, he was pretty good.
Yeah, but
I remember he was getting whacked.
But it wasn't like that. It wasn't like you couldn't have done without him. Listen, he had 8 starts, and it's not like you didn't make do all season long. You dominated the division without him. You didn't really. Lance McCullers did not play a pivotal role last year.
In his starts last year. He had 6 innings pitched, allowed 2 hits, no runs, 7 strikeouts. Really good against Seattle in a 1-0. Went in the super long. That was actually a really great game.
Yeah.
In the super long extra inning game against Seattle, that was huge. But then at New York, 5 innings, 8 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 runs total, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. Pretty good. And, in that Philadelphia game, he had 5 punches. Remember that he just kind of – he got hurt in that inning where he actually made it back after the first and got touched up again. He had five strikes. You know, in the postseason last year, McCullers had 18 strikeouts and four walks. But it was 4 1/3, six hits, seven earned runs. I mean, it ended up being bad. But, I mean, that Seattle game was huge because you don't win that game, who knows where that goes. You don't win that postseason game. Now, that lasted so long that McCullers had a really good six innings, but it was an 18-inning game.
18 innings, yeah. Yep. Ended by Jeremy Pena. So I don't know. Yeah, listen. I don't know. The criticisms and, you know, the vitriol certainly is not deserved. But the criticisms, I think, are well-deserved. I mean, anybody what's the best availability? And if you're not available to your team, and especially when you're making a lot of money, I think that's probably the biggest problem, is the $85 million contract. Mm-hmm. Is that for whatever reason, that pisses fans off that you're making all that money and you're not contributing.
Yeah. It's people are just really frustrated with Lance McCullers. Listen, I don't think any Astros fan wishes him the worst or anything like that.
I hope not.
It's just here's where you sit. What do you do with Lance McCullers moving forward now? Because if you can't, and you don't have to answer this question right now, but at some point they're going to have to say, well, we can't count on him to be healthy. How in the world are we going to stick him into the, you know, five-man rotation and just hope that he stays healthy? When you have Javier, Frombert, Luis Garcia, Hunter Brown, and Urquidy, and everyone's healthy, what are you going to do? Lance McCullers, we'll see if he's ready by 2014. I mean, he's getting a surgery kind of late. I mean, we'll see if he's ready by 2024. He's getting a surgery kind of late. Mm. So this could have an impact on when he's ready in 2024. I don't know how you got to pay him. He's got guaranteed money on his contract. But like I said with Jose Abreu, just because you have to pay somebody doesn't mean you have to use them every single day. People always talk about Lance McCullers going to the pen. I would be curious to see if the Houston Astros believe that his arm could handle being on less of a regular schedule in the bullpen. You know, can he bounce back from being, because bullpen is not a regularly scheduled thing. You don't know when you're going to get into a game and when you're not. I mean, you kind of do. Dusty knows when he wants to throw guys, but I don't know. Is Lance's arm okay to do that?
I don't know. Well, you could use him right now in a rotation, dude.
But once use him, he's done. Is he done for 2 days, 3 days? Oh, you could absolutely use him.
And you could go to a six-man rotation with him if he comes back, if he would have come back.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was interesting. Joe George, and I think it was yesterday, Joe George was on with Jeremy Branham. Joel was off. And Joe George said, when do we start? Or maybe it was the day before the Astros started winning. When do the Astros become sellers this trade deadline as opposed to buyers?
Sellers. Never?
Well, The Athletic compiled a big board of 100 the top players on the radars of front offices around the league. Surprisingly, two Astros made the list.
Let me see if I can guess. Because it's not going to be the big name. So I'm going to say McCormick?
Nope. I don't think you'll get him because it is the big name. It's Jose Abreu, one. And it's...
Go ahead.
Right. Well, it's Jose Abreu, one, and Mauricio Dubon, another.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there is zero chance.
That's our Ledmus Diaz.
He is a Ledmus Diaz.
Sheep of Ledmus Diaz?
Yeah, right.
No.
I don't see that happening any way, shape, or form.
But now Abreu, we can talk.
Well... They said it's very unlikely that any team would take on his contract, especially with the way that he's hitting. Astros paid for part of it. Here's what they said. If the Astros could get out from under some of the $39 million they'll owe him in 2024 and 25, they will. Yeah, absolutely they will.
$15 million pay $15 million, get an A-ball prospect, get a AAA prospect who doesn't do anything, one of your 6.5 ERA pitchers with some spin rate. And then maybe give them a mid-level A-ball prospect. Like, look, we'll give you a guy who's got a chance to move up. You're basically paying some salary and giving them a player to take this contract off their hands.
A Brock Osweiler deal?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. The Brock Osweiler deal where you can stick Yiner in there at a more permanent basis.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Then Yiner plays a lot of first base. Dubon plays first base. You got your DH situation with Yiner. You got catcher with Yiner. I mean, yes, you could get him on the field a lot more.
You could find a way to buy out of that contract.
Abreu, because you know Pawpaw ain't putting Abreu on the bench.
I'm sure they have some speed numbers, some type of swing numbers on him, what his bat speed is, things like that.
He has shown, in the month of June, he has shown a marked improvement.
The exit velo has been better. He's been better, which is why you might want to strike now.
Well, I don't.
To get rid of that contract? Because, listen, even if he's better, what does better mean, number one? And number two, what are your thoughts for, like, in the long term? You got 2 more years of this contract? Man, now is the time to admit your buyer's remorse. You admit your mistake. And if you can shovel him off, you do it. That's one thing that Morey was pretty good at is getting rid of deals.
Yeah.
If he didn't like them, he could get rid of deals.
You'd have to pick up at least 15 or 20 million of that 39.
It's still less than 30. Yeah, it's still less than 39.
Yeah.
Well, not 39, but what's left of it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's worth it. I think it's also worth it because of what that could mean in terms of getting Diaz into the lineup on an everyday basis.
Yeah, because Pawpaw ain't moving away. You know.
And maybe even allow you to look at another player at trade deadline, you know, maybe look at another left-hand batter, another first baseman, just to hit reset and go with someone else other than Abreu.
Hey, when we come back, Bratto is going to make his debut here on the show. We follow him. He is a good follow, and he will be joining us next to talk about the NBA draft and what your Houston Rockets should and maybe will do. That's next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, but first QC.
QC Kinetics. They're the business that, it's a medical, it's an area of medical expertise that is regenerative, restorative, biological therapies. Regenerative medicine is hot all over the country. It's a really big deal. And it's been a big deal actually in athletic circles for a long time. But what they do is they allow you to take the body's healing powers and then they concentrate it, put it back into the joint. So this is what we're talking about. This gives you an opportunity to restore damaged tissue, repair damaged tissue, and now that ability inside your joint, when your tissue is where it needs to be, you have the type of tissue because of the restorative process, the repairing process, you begin to see a diminished level of pain in that joint. If you suffer from chronic pain, you're probably going to get an anti-inflammatory shot, which won't last all that long. You are going to look at surgery options. You'll have downtime. You may try to manage it with pain medicine, which can cause its own problems. Listen, there's a better option, and that's restorative medicine, the regenerative process. And this works great. It works for pro athletes. It works for regular people just like you and I. It worked great for my wife on her bone-on-bone knee issue. Is something that she saw improvement there. She's training currently for the Berlin Marathon. That's an amazing improvement. See what they can do for you before you go look into getting surgery. Make sure that you talk to QC Kinetics. 4 locations in the Houston area, and they are waiting to talk to you. Go to qckinetics.com or call 713-913-5285.
ESPN975.com. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Summer can be a little slow in the world of sports, so to speed things up a little bit, this is the meth segment with John and Lance.
Don't. Bratto doesn't want to be part of the meth segment, okay?
Spencer, there's no meth jumping there's off no here. It's meth. Just rockets.
Bratto joining us, his debut here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great follow. He got a lot of great content, a lot of great information for your Houston Rockets. Breaks down games as they are going on at BRADEAUXNBA.
And he's got, and it pinned on his Twitter page, you can see his interview with Alperen Şengün, which is really cool. He and the Brad Owen Will podcast, they do a lot of great things. There's some really good, every once in a while I'll jump into some Twitter spaces, and Twitter space is if you've never been on one, like Rockets have some really good ones.
Yeah.
They've got some good fans who create Twitter spaces, and it's basically almost like a post-game show where they'll talk about stuff, talk about draft stuff. And
good stuff.
Yeah, and Bratto has been a guy who caught my eye because he hustles and puts a lot of great content in there. And it's not always easy, Bratto. And you even said it during the year, like, man, this is really getting hard to try to be positive with this team. But with the bad eventually comes the good. And we saw that with the Astros years ago when they made the move, you know, into being who they are now. How far away do you think the Rockets are realistically from making everyone happy in this city like the Astros have?
First of all, I want to thank you guys for getting me on. I always wanted to get on the radio and just talk about, you know, the Rockets. But when it comes to how far away do I think they are, this is the most important offseason. They've had this three-year rebuild, really planned for this offseason to have all this cap space, the most in the NBA with $60 million plus. They have all these trade assets that they got from Brooklyn. And they're going to try to bring in vets for Ime Udoka. They're going to try to, you know, kick it in the phase two, which is getting back into the playoffs. And hopefully contention is obviously phase three. So it's really going to be most important, regardless of what veterans they bring in. They need that young core to start gelling together. That young core being Jalen Green, you know, Alperen Şengün, Jabari Smith Jr., and Tari Eason. You know, once they kick it into high gear, that's when we'll have a better idea of when they're going to be ready for that championship contention. So I'm hoping, I'm praying for maybe 3-4 years down the line. They'll be in the playoffs regularly, hopefully maybe getting second-round appearances and maybe further. But this is a young group that does have a ton of potential. I'm excited to see what they can do. It's hard to tell, ultimately, watching Stephen Silas ball, especially the past 3 years, when they've won 17 games, 20 games, and 22 games. That's not fun basketball. As you guys mentioned, it's hard to kind of create content and watch a team like that. So I appreciate and I commend anyone who ever stuck through that. But they can get through it. Again, if they bring in the right pieces and Udoka can bring those guys together and have them playing team basketball, the future looks really bright.
Braddo with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bradeaux. Is that Cajun? Are you Brad, but in Cajun land, you're Braddo? Is that your first name? Is that your last name?
Yeah, so full backstory. My name is really Brad LeBlanc, but all my friends have always called me Braddo. Creole background, and that's just a nickname I've had growing up.
No, I knew it had some Cajun flavor. He's one of us.
LeBlanc.
He's a piece.
You ain't Cajun. Your wife is from South Louisiana.
Yeah, I'm Cajun.
You don't get it. You're from Chicago. That's not Cajun.
I'm part of the culture. So Braddo is with us here, at Braddo NBA. Braddo, I am convinced that they got a lot of money to spend. And not a great offseason to spend it, quite frankly. There's not a lot of great stuff out there. How about, Middleton turning down that $40 million, is that a target? Is there any way Chris Middleton comes here?
No, I've heard Chris Middleton's name thrown around recently. I want to say John Fisher had brought that up a while back. Ime wants those winning pieces. He did say he wanted a shooting wing. Depending on how they want to spend that money, it looks like their big money is going to be going towards either James Harden or it looks like Fred VanVleet on a short-term deal. So I don't know if they can fit Chris Middleton into that mix. If they feel like if they struck out on maybe a James Harden and a Fred VanVleet, maybe they could turn their attention to a guy like Chris Middleton, because I know they want to use that $60 million and they want to use it wisely. But if they do go a Chris Middleton route, I hope it's short-term, like a Fred VanVleet kind of deal.
Are you pro or anti-Harden coming here?
You know, when it comes to James Harden, I've always said this team was last in the NBA in assists. They're last in turnovers. They need a guy who's a playmaker. But, you know, I was preaching the whole season. You could check my Twitter. I was like, give him max. But, you know, you look at those last few playoff games, and that's not a guy you want to tie long-term max money to. So I understand everybody pushing back on the James Harden idea. I would personally be okay if he came, but I'd also be okay if he didn't come as well, because I understand the negatives. And, you know, James Harden isn't that playoff performer, but he's a guy that's going to be a regular season raiser. And I would be happy to see this young core at least build from being with a guy like that and getting to into the playoffs. But, again, there's other ways for the Rockets to be well off without a guy like James.
Yeah,
Harden.
One of the things – I'm sorry for jumping. One of the things I've noticed that people – when I pay attention to Rockets Twitter, it's like people are kind of stuck in the idea. It's like a cul-de-sac where they can't get outside of the idea of just what you know, right? Which is James Harden. You know James Harden, and you know what he'll do, and he will make you in the short term a better basketball team. But what does he have that will create sustainable growth for the young guys? Is he a mentor? He's never been a mentor for young players. He hasn't been that guy. Would he make this team better in the short term? Yes, but I do think that people maybe don't always think about, well, who are the other options out there, and what could they do? And I'm not sure that we're really giving enough credit to Ime Udoka, because I think Udoka could have a huge impact coming on the heels of Steven Silas could really have an impact on getting the players to look at ball a different way and to maybe, you know, get into the defense and the competitive nature on a 48-minute basis. I really think he could have a huge impact on this team, regardless of Harden, regardless of any of the free agent acquisitions. But you tie it to the right free agent acquisitions, and you may have something going here earlier than maybe the 3 or 4 years you're talking about.
Right. And when you say, really quickly, when you say some guys that can bring, you're referring to point guards in specific or just guys in general?
Yeah, so for me, it's about point guard. I think the right point guard to fit with Jalen and the right point guard from a high, you know, screen and roll stuff with Şengün, because Şengün can flash to high post, he can high screen and roll, or he can work from the low post. And I know you're a big fan. You had a video cut sliced together right around Christmas time, and it had all of Şengün's top plays, and it's like over a 1 week period, I think it was, or a 2 or 3 game period. And that's when I realized this is Baby Jokic. This is exactly who he is. And I just think he's so special that I also think that Udoka may take a look at this and say, you know what, we're going to go a little bit more through Şengün moving forward, because we think that our efficiency numbers are going to be better that way.
Yeah, Şengün, he's an amazing talent. That is a guy you can ultimately run the offense through. We saw it last season. And I've been curious to see what they can do to make, you know, the offense revolve around him, but I don't know what the vision is. We'll have to see what they do this free agency. But when it comes to point guards, as you mentioned, again, if not James Harden, Fred VanVleet is going to be that guy they look towards. If not him, I've seen Austin Reeves' name thrown around. That's not a primary ball handler necessarily, but I've seen that name thrown around. But again, Lakers are expected to match that off, so that's unrealistic. Another guy who hasn't been mentioned, a guy like Monte Morris, he's on the Washington Wizards, really good assist-to-turnover ratio, 5-plus assists, and kept it to around 1 turnover, which is really good. I don't know if that's starter level, but that's a guy that can come in and Ime Udoka would really enjoy. So just any guy who's a good playmaker and keeps the turnovers down, because I'm sick of watching Rockets basketball and all the sloppiness, and that needs to change immediately. So a guy like Monte Morris is a guy I'm thinking of when it comes to point guard. Not much of a playmaker with this next guy, but Patrick Beverley, he said he was interested in coming back on his podcast. That'd be a guy I'd love to have as a backup point guard. But I haven't really seen other names thrown around like that when it comes to point guard. We've heard Harden, VanVleet, Austin Reeves as a guard, and then Monte Morris is just my idea because the Wizards are having a fire sale right now. So I wouldn't mind if the Rockets jumped in on it.
Brad O with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I was so disappointed. I know a lot of people were when the Rockets ended up fourth in the NBA lottery. Could it be a blessing in disguise? Is there a chance that Amen is going to be that good?
Amen Thompson. So, funny enough, I live in Atlanta right now, and I got a chance to watch Amen a few times. And this is a guy, if you're unfamiliar with him, 6'7 in height, 7 foot wingspan, as a point guard, going to come into the NBA being a top tier athlete, really good playmaker, has the tools to be an amazing defender. If he hits, you know, these draft guys, he has the potential to be the second best player from that draft class behind Victor Wembanyama. But, of course, everyone knows with him, the shooting is such an issue, and it's broken right now, and that is the main concern. But if he ever gets that jump shot to work, he could be a really good NBA player. When it comes to the Houston Rockets, I was initially concerned with fit because you have a guy like Alperen Şengün who doesn't really shoot threes. And if you're going to plug him in with Amen Thompson, then you have two guys on the court who aren't shooting threes and shooting threes. For, you know, this rebuild, and they need shooters desperately, and that's what Ime Udoka has been saying as well. But then I started to think, you know, Amen Thompson again, he could be an elite playmate. Again, if that shot comes around, we're looking at a guy like, you know, De'Aaron Fox, some of those downhill guys in the NBA that just looked really good. And we saw Fox took a crazy leap for Sacramento this past season. If that jumper even gets to maybe 34% and he's shooting it regularly, he's going to be an insane talent. So that's a guy you bank on. He's a guy you can build around, and that's a great player for this Rockets team who's lacking a playmaker for the past three seasons after James Harden left.
Yeah, do you would you have a preference of drafting, you know, Thompson, Whitmore, trying to make an aggressive move to get up and get Brandon Miller, who I know who they like, but you'd have to get to up to two more than likely to do that? Or what are your thoughts, John and I have talked about this, about packaging four and one of your players and going and finding a guy that you think is the right veteran fit for your team. What about moving the number four pick? Do you think there's much of a chance of that happening tonight?
Ooh, when it comes to that fourth pick and moving it for a winnable vet, it is difficult. We've seen teams in the past try to do the same, and it's hard to find a deal. And when it comes to moving up, you'll see a lot of fans. If they move up, it's got to be Scoot Henderson, because I think Scoot Henderson is the clear number one prospect in this draft. And again, this is a team that desperately needs that point guard. Brandon Miller, though, I do like Brandon Miller. I think he's a really good shooter, great plug into this Rockets team. Has the tools to be a great defender, 6'9", 7-foot wingspan. Ime Udoka, he can really work with that. He also has a playmaking feel to his game as well. But, again, they better not be trading up for Brandon Miller. If they trade up, it needs to be Scoot Henderson. And when it comes to a veteran, it's going to be hard to find a winnable vet. In theory, I would like that idea. And initially, I thought that was what I wanted them to do with the fourth pick, you know, packaging for maybe a guy like KJ. And it would depend on the player. But I don't think there's a reasonable target out there tonight that would be better than taking in a guy like Amon Thompson, who could potentially change the direction of your franchise. So, and then Cam Whitmore, as you mentioned, I do like Cam Whitmore. He shot what? He had 24 dunks in his 26 games this year, which is an insane amount of numbers. Same amount of dunks. Had shot 64.5% at the rim, which is really good. 40% catch and shoot. That's a guy Ime Udoka could like as well. That's a guy I would not take at the fourth pick, but I've heard his stock has fallen. And if they could trade up to get him maybe at 10-ish, which I don't think is realistic, but if they could trade it for a guy like Cam Whitmore, I would do that. But at the fourth selection, again, guys, I would definitely say Amon Thompson should be that guy.
Yeah, and I just don't know if you want to draft two more young guys. You might want to trade back from four, get a future pick, and then take Whitmore if you wanted to do that. Is you trade back and get a future pick and maybe get out of the 20th pick. Because there's only so many young guys you can have. At some point, you're going to have to get more veterans.
Have you seen, Brado, have you seen Bilal Coulibaly?
I have. That's the guy, Victor Wembanyama's teammate, they say, like a 7'2", 7'3" wingspan. He looks impressive.
You like him? He's moving up the draft, a bunch of draft boards.
I like him. He has a good feel for his game. His potential is up there. I think he could potentially go towards the lottery, but When it comes to pick 20, again, I agree with you guys. You can only have so many young guys on a team. With this Rockets team last year, that had 10 players that were 22 or younger. So I'm good on the young players. But I've heard they like a lot of guys now. There's a few of them that got green room invites that potentially they could be there at 20. One guy I'm looking at is a guy like Jet Howard, 6'8", really good shooter, 38.6% on catch and shoot threes. Has a playmaking feel to his game, had 2 assists per game last year in Michigan, which is pretty good for a forward. And also has a little sidestep to his game. So a guy like Jet Howard, I think, would be a good fit offensively for Ime Udoka. He's just a bad defender. So I'm curious to see what they do at pick 20. If it was up to me, I would be trading that pick tonight.
8:30, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That is Brado. He is a great follow at Brado NBA. At Brado and Will is another Twitter handle that they have for their podcast.
You know, Brado puts together great content for a basketball team that has been terrible the last 3 years. Imagine what's going to happen if you get a good team to start putting content together for. You won't even know what to do.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I've been waiting for this Rockets team to you know, be that team that I grew up on. I really started watching them in those T-Mac McGrady years. Again, they were struggling getting up the first round then until they had that one breakthrough in 08-09. But you know, I saw them get to playoffs every year with James Harden, and I just want to see a championship team. I know you guys are lucky to witness those back-to-back championships. I was lucky enough to see those, so I'm hoping to see that and create content for a team like that, because that's going to be the most amazing thing. So I can't wait for that.
Brado, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us, and let's do it again.
Sounds good. Yeah, have me on whatever. But thank you, guys.
All right, Brado with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Spencer Hall is going to be joining us at 9 o'clock to talk some college football and what's going on with this portal. That'll be at 9 o'clock, right?
He's got a really interesting concept that I think should be explored.
All right, right now I'm talking about John Clay Wolf, and I'm talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. I'm talking about a business. I've been saying, you know, he does over $1 billion a year. He does over $2 billion a year. That's what he does. I mean, that's unbelievable. I'm telling you, that is something. To him to have built this business up the way that he has, and he's done it mostly through radio. Here's a guy that can give you a quote over the radio. You call him on his radio show, and he's going to quote you over the phone exactly what it is. I mean, that's some kind of talent. He knows the business. He's great at it, what he does, and he knows he's giving you more than the other people are going to give you, and that's how he built the business. He will pay you more for your car. If you're selling your car, you have to find out what it's worth. at GiveMeTheVIN.com. Because then you go, even if you want to sell it to the dealership or you want to go in and trade it in with the deal. And listen, John Clay Wolf can make, if you're buying a car from a dealership, he can make it all fluid transaction with the taxes and everything else, buying it through there and buying your car through there. And then you can transfer over the tax, the title and license, all that stuff that you need to be done with the dealer as well. So find out what it's worth. Get the most you possibly can for that car or truck. And especially if you have a really nice one, they're going for a lot. So if you're looking to sell your car, there's one place to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, because every day is Children's Day.
Oh, hello there, children.
Preambulatory NFL person, the godmother of quality footwear. You found the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, 838 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks to Brad Otto. It's good stuff. We appreciate it. His information. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on anything that we've talked about? You're more than welcome to get in here. To hang out with us.
I'm going to follow up on some of that. You know, we didn't really get into it with, he mentioned Pat Beverly, and Beverly liked to come back with the Rockets. And Beverly's kind of like, you know, I do wonder about older players and older surly players, and will they fit in with the team? And some of it is less about, like, at some point, you can't worry about fitting in with what's not working. You know what I mean? It can't be about, well, are all the players going to be okay with this guy? What are we talking about? This is a team that's been one of the worst teams in basketball for the last 3 years. What do you care about who fits in? But I think it is important for, you're trying to build something, Udoka is. And so I think you do want everyone on the same page. So I think there is something to, I'm not saying you defer to everything that involves the young players who maybe haven't learned to be the pros that they need to become. But at the same time, you do need to find that right veteran and that right mentor in here. Now, maybe Bev is that guy. Maybe he is that guy. But I think he leans into his villain-type stuff almost to the point that it's a distraction. And that's where Dylan Brooks eventually got there with Memphis, where he went from being and I think that – I don't know that it's an act at all with Draymond Green. But at some point, the villainous stuff – the wrestling characters that these three guys created, it kind of almost takes over. It becomes too big for the team. Draymond's become too big for the team with his personality. Dylan Brooks, I think, got to be a little too big for that team in terms of the personality, started to overshadow the basketball. And Pat Beverly, I mean, bringing a camera on the court to show an official, while it was funny, it also got him ejected. And you just wonder sometimes if he is focused enough on the important things, or if he's just in his mind, he sees himself as Pat, you know, Pat the irritant and Pat the villain. That is he going to miss out on the fact that he needs to be Pat helping the young guys learn to defend better, become better pros, stuff like that? Like Marcus Smart, honestly, gosh, former Udoka player with the Celtics, I would have loved seeing Marcus Smart with the Rockets. I think Smart would have been a great scheme/culture fit for what the Rockets want to do here. I would have definitely.
I'm not sure about his vibes.
Marcus Smart's,
yeah,
maybe not, but he defends and he knows him.
I know, but he.
Oh, you mean just vibes? Yeah. No, he doesn't have vibes like Instagram story vibes.
No,
but he might fit in the vibes of, what am I watching?
Okay. Don't do this.
I can't see this
what is
on
wrong
TV.
With you? So just talk and don't look at that.
I can't. I know.
So I think Pat Beverly wants to become Pat McAfee, if you want to know the truth. He wants to be the NBA's version of Pat McAfee.
Well, let me tell you something now. When Shaq and Ernie and Kenny, to me, they're still, and Charles, they're still great. I love them. But I could see something where it's going to be Draymond and Beverly, and there's going to be a new crew that comes up, whether it's the NBA second team, you know, the other show that they have, or whether it's, you know, replacements that eventually replace those guys. Beverly's going to be one of them. You're right. Beverly could end up on First Take.
Yep.
Pat Beverly could end up on FS1.
Absolutely.
Because he's also a football fan. Like, no, Pat Beverly is going to be in the media.
Absolutely.
Somewhere.
He's already started that. And with some outrage. He don't care what he says. And that's the key that's going to get him work. That's going to land him big money when it's all said and done. A couple of other well, on the other side, because we're up against it. We were a little long with Brado, but we really appreciate him. Thanks for coming by. And don't forget Spencer Hall. If you're not following Spencer Hall, he was one of the first guys I ever followed on Twitter. Every day should be Saturday. EDSBS. At EDSBS. He's one of the first.
Spencer Hall is a really talented writer. He's funny. He had a great article. Years ago about Houston, about I want to say, I can't remember what the website was that he had it in, but it was about the city of Houston. He followed Houston football team. He did Houston culture, Houston food scene. It was like an homage to the city of Houston, which was brilliant. And now he's got a great idea and concept. He shows up on Scott Van Pelt's show now on a regular basis, and now he's doing some he wrote an article about the portal. We'll get his thoughts on the portal, on NIL, and the idea of how to slow this down and make it more manageable, because I think he's got an interesting take.
We'll do that at the top of the hour. Right now, John Daspit, who's playing a big role in college
football. Yeah, I talked to John yesterday, and he's got such big plans. And we got into kind of the nuts and bolts of how his business works, and I was talking about it with him, and you know, he has to. You have to send people to doctors and look at this. And we were talking about when people get hurt. There are some people who, you know how guys are. We get hurt and we just try to pour some beer on it, put some dirt on it, and you're fine. And yet, if you've been injured in a car accident and you don't go see a doctor or you don't go check on, well, the first step starts with seeing a doctor, orthopedics. If you get injured, you have to at the workplace, you need to make sure that you don't have something going on medically. And if you don't, that's great. You don't have to worry about it. If you do, though, you need to see about making sure that all your hospital bills get taken care of. You get taken care of for any future physical therapy and things like that you're going to have to do, or current physical therapy. And there are people who will look out for you. And the best in Houston is John Daspit. That's why he is the biggest in Houston. He's the second biggest in the state. And he is moving to different states as well. He's going to expand. I don't know why my Apple Watch just went off. But he is expanding to start to help other people in other states as well. And he does an amazing job in the state of Texas. People from the Astral World tragedy have reached out and sought his counsel, and he's representing them as well. As just got done with a huge settlement with people who were injured in refinery blast offshore that took place. So John Daspit's the guy. This is the law firm to go to if you have been injured. He passionately pursues justice for the injured. That's what John Daspit does. Go to DaspitLaw.com or give him a call at 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW.
ESPN 975.com. Get in the race.
You'll find this is the toughest course you've ever raced, and you'll need every ounce of experience and skills.
Let's get back to the wrench with these two tools. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, it stormed last night. It was something. All of a sudden, we're watching TV. I'm like, what the heck is
bang,
going
bang,
on?
Bang, bang, bang. Lightning all over the place.
Wind and rain. It was like, holy crap. But thoughts and prayers to Lubbock, man. They got hit by some tornadoes last night, and it's bad. I mean, it was bad. So we got an intern here from Texas Tech, and hopefully all his people are fine. Hopefully anybody that's left back there at the university is fine. Speaking of Texas, you know where Zeke, who's the favorite now to land Zeke, Ezekiel Elliott?
Don't say Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Are they?
As RB2.
I liked one of the things I saw on television. They were talking about bringing Hopkins in. Could Hopkins and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins has talked about he and Dalvin Cook will make a super team and they can join somebody. The idea of Hopkins and Cook to the Cowboys, I actually love that idea. I just don't think they can make it work financially. But I love the concept of that because you have D-Hop as the second wide receiver, and then you have, you know, Dalvin Cook to pair with a healthy Tony Pollard. I think that would be a phenomenal combination. I think Dallas, well, I just think it would be really, really unbelievable if they could find the money to bring those two guys in. Short of that, Zeke gives you, you bring him back, he's a, you bring him back on a more team-friendly deal. He's a short-term. What do you do with Zeke? Like, realistically, that should be maybe a, I don't know, I'd have to go look at what it would look like, but I'm guessing a $5 million one-year deal? I'm like that, I guess?
It's running back too? Yeah,
I probably. I mean, he'll want probably eight, but I don't think they would give that
to
him.
No, I don't think he's good. I don't think any of these guys are getting what they want. None of them.
No.
None of them.
I mean, you have no leverage.
Yeah.
And you're just not, there's not enough. I mean, he's good. He scored touchdowns. Look, in, you remember how Jerome Bettis later in his career became a short yardage touchdown scorer? He really was effective doing that. The bus was a guy who, you know, was a second guy who was to fast Willie Parker, to speedy Willie Parker. And was it fast Willie? I think it's fast Willie Parker.
Wee Willie.
Well, that's Willie not why they didn't call him Wee Willie. I think it's fast Willie Parker. Oh. But Jerome Bettis was the second guy who'd handle the short yardage stuff and the touchdowns, and he would rack up touchdowns. Marcus Allen, he had a second run in his career where he was a touchdown scorer. Maybe that's what Zeke Elliott is now. Maybe you have Zeke Elliott where you pair him with a running back who does the heavy lifting, and then Zeke is kind of the closer in the red zone. That might be a good role for him. That's kind of how the Cowboys used him at times last year. So I think that's kind of what you would want to look for if you're going to add a guy like Ezekiel Elliott.
Well,
he has third down value. He can pass protect. Like, he still has value in the league, just not what he was getting paid.
Carries on goal to go plays in 2022. Ezekiel Elliott and Joe Mixon both had 22 carries on goal to go. They were second in the league. Tied for second in the
Derek
league.
Henry.
Dalvin Cook was one behind them with 21.
Uh-huh.
No, Derrick Henry is not the answer. The answer is simple. When you, it was Jamal Williams.
Oh, well, it's not simple because you got to think of Jamal is a short yardage machine.
Jamal scored touchdowns, bro.
Yeah.
He scored touchdowns last year, and now he's not there anymore. They're going with Gibbs and Montgomery. But, he's moved on. But Jamal Williams was a goal to go machine for Detroit last year. So Zeke, though, you know, the second was 38 carries for Jamal Williams. Second closest was Zeke and Joe Mixon at 22 each. And then Dalvin Cook at 21, Miles Sanders and Saquon Barkley at 19.
Do they have success rate?
Najee Harris at 18. Jamal did, certainly.
No, do they have their success rate?
No, they don't have their success rate, just those numbers. So interesting to, yeah, the Jamal, Zeke is going to get those carries. Tony Pollard is going to get the carries to get him down to the goal, to goal to go, and then Zeke would probably get those carries afterwards. But it's so funny, these running backs are just, they just aren't what they think they are. They're just not going to get paid. Speaking of getting paid, the government wants to get paid. You see the Bill Romanowski story? Dude owes, he and his wife owe $15 million in back taxes. Bill Romanowski just decided, I ain't paying you. He's being sued by the government. And
sued, but don't you just go to jail?
Well, no. They're suing
maybe
him
both.
for that money. Pay that man his money. But then I guess if you don't pay, then I guess you're facing charges of tax evasion. And you know, I don't know how that would work. But yeah, he and his wife Julie, more than $15 million in unpaid taxes.
So my father-in-law used to do work for people who had tax issues, and there was one client he had that was just the same way, made a lot of money and decided he just didn't believe in the concept of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't matter what you believe in.
No.
They don't care about your feelings.
Right.
And what I found is that people who generally believe that, even if you dig them out like my father-in-law did for this guy, eventually they find their way into trouble again.
Yes.
Because they fundamentally just can't wrap their head around paying taxes. And so eventually it becomes a problem again. It's not like it just, hey, you know what? I'm just going to pay this and avoid this trouble in the future. A lot of times it's not that simple.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law was great, like great at working with these people and helping them. And then they're like, I remember he had this guy had this huge debt, and he got it reduced way, way down, like almost a miracle in working with judges in the state. And the guy who was the client is like, this is outlandish. I'm not paying that. He goes, well, then you're going to jail. I need the money that I owed for working for you all this time. Like, okay, I'll pay it.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about, too.
Yeah.
Apparently, Bill Romanowski was using, they have a business, N53 Nutrition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Apparently, he was paying, N53 paid for their mortgage, their food, and all of their bills, which is extremely illegal. You have to pay yourself, and then, which is taxable, and then you have to use your own money to pay for your mortgage.
Right.
You can't let the business use your mortgage. So he's got, and with penalties, Bill Romanowski's in some trouble. That's all. All right, 856 ESPN 97.5.
Have you ever been to Red Rocks, by the way?
I have.
Red Rocks is awesome, right?
It's unbelievable.
That big storm that hit us, it hit Red Rocks, too. Red Rocks had Red Rocks is a wide open amphitheater.
Right, in Denver.
Outside of Denver.
Right.
And it's awesome to see shows there, but it's like wide open.
It's beautiful.
It's
the best concert venue ever.
Yeah, these are all hail balls.
Holy crap.
And 100 people were injured by this hail that just all of a sudden came out of nowhere and was slamming them with, you know, it's not baseball size, but it's pretty good sized hail.
Look like rocks.
And it was like it was like getting hit by rocks.
You ever
from the
get
sky.
Hit by hail? I have.
No, I haven't.
It hurts.
Does it hurt?
Oh, yeah,
I've seen the damage just done to cars.
Oh, no, it hurts. I've been hit by hail before. It's time to take a break, and Spencer Hall joins us on the other side at ED. Every EDSBS. Yeah. At EDSBS. On Twitter, a must follow. He'll be with us next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. Time to wake up.
Hey, you're finally awake. You were trying to cross the border, right?